Velkommen til Hestedyrlægerne, en podcastserie fra Boehringer Ingelheim. I disse podcast taler vi med specialister inden for forskellige fagområder vedrørende hestens sygdomme. Alle har det til fælles, at de deler din og vores passion for heste. Velkommen tilbage til Hestedyrlægerne, podcasten til dig, der er dyrlæge eller veterinærsygeplejerske og arbejder med heste. Mit navn er Gorm Carson. I det kommende afsnit taler vi med Nina Lundgren, som er dyrlæge og hestetandlæge. Hun har i mange år udelukkende arbejdet med hestetænder og har et solidt kendskab til faget, som hun gerne deler ud af. Første afsnit handler om smerter hos tandpatienter, hvordan vi genkender dem og hvordan de behandles bedst muligt.
Welcome to the podcast, Nina.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and also what you do?
Well, where to start? I'm a veterinarian, deep digging into dentistry, equine dentistry, since 15 years. So I've done approximately, somewhere between 11 and 12,000 horse mouths by now. So I've seen a couple, and it's mostly routine dentistry, but about 20% of the time I do more advanced stuff, both surgical issues and restorations of teeth. So, but mainly routine work and everything that comes with that, everything from small mini breeds to large Olympic Games horses. So it's really all kinds of horses in all kinds of stables and clinic settings. So some of them are in heavy pain and some of them quite fine. Some are old, some are young.
It's a bit diverse. So have you always been interested in dentistry since you studied?
Yeah, really earlier than that. It was like in 16 years of age, I started to get interested in the mouth of horses and how they were chewing and everything about the teeth and chewing system. So it started off there.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any extra courses or education or certificates that you took after your veterinary studies?
Yeah, I jumped on the course at or the program at SLU with Torbjörn Lundström and Ove Vatle, and became an equine odontologist after 3 years of specialization. And after that, I've of course joined a lot of courses in VetPD regime and also other arrangements around in Europe. And it's always so fun. It's both the courses in itself, but also to join up with colleagues and talk about all the different cases and problems you run into during your daily practice. So it's I've learned a lot, and I hope I've helped out learning others as well during all the courses I've been holding as well.
I'm sure you have. So I wanted to dedicate this first episode to pain and pain. How to detect pain, dental pain in horses, but also how to manage it. So to start, I would like to ask you, do we actually know or can we guess how painful the dental issues are in horses? Because they're really good at masking pain. So how do they show it, or how can we detect it?
That's really, you're spot on already by saying that they're really good at masking it. And it's also depending, if you look at different breeds, the Icelandic horses can have like huge problem in their mouths and they don't show anything. They eat normal, they play normal, they are normal, they compete normal, everything is normal. And then when you open up the mouth, it's like, whoa, are you really sure this is the same horse that we saw half an hour ago playing in the field?
Mm.
It's really, they are really, really, really good at masking. And then in the other end of the scale, you can have this warm blood that has one single sharp tooth and it can't eat. It can't be ridden. It can't hardly have the halter on.
Mm.
So it's really, really different between individuals and breeds. So it's hard to say, like, this is dental pain. This is not dental pain. But what I always try to say to the horse owners is be observant of changes.
Mm.
Changes in sound, changes in the habit of eating, suddenly sorting out food. They eat something in the hay, but not the other. Even when it's the same bale, they start to suddenly change their manners. Or, of course, behavioral problems like being aggressive to other horses or don't want to cope with a human. And also, of course, pain phases is like the same. But if you see that the horse starts to scratch the head against the leg or the box, or it starts to shake its head, if you have problems when you're coming close to the mouth, if they're like head shy, of course, you have to think about pain in the mouth. Also, of course, if you have problems during riding or put the bridle on or the halter on, or if you just, when you pet the horse, if you reckon that something's changing, then you probably have an issue. But if you can't be really sure, even if the horse doesn't show different behavior, doesn't show swelling, doesn't show chewing pattern, you can't be sure there is not a problem in the head. So I think it's very important that you have a good checkup at least once a year.
Yeah, I was going to come to that because you said you do a lot of routine checkups these yearly. How often do you actually discover something in these routine checkups that you think, wow, this is really, this, it should have been showing something?
I visited a PRE horse today and he had a serious hook in the 411 with a heavy bite in the trigonum area he should be really sore, but he was so friendly, so happy, and behaves like he should in the riding and everything. So it's almost on daily basis that I see something that, oh, this is not really, he should have had some, if this was would have been me,
mm-hmm.
surely would have shown some kind of symptoms or
mm.
So yes, it's quite often really.
So it's more common then that you actually discover something at the routine checkups than what it is that someone calls you because they are suspecting something or that they've actually had symptoms that they want you to check up on.
Yes, when it's the first visit. When I have my old customers that have the routine checkups every year or every 6 months, they learned to feel that now he's starting to get, you know, go against the bits and starting to toss his head when I do something and now I see the signs, and in those cases they are probably they know what to look for, and then when I come out there, it's look here, it's exactly as you said, he's got blisters here or damage to the mucous membrane here or a hook there. So but if when it's the first visit, I often find stuff that the rider or the owner has not been observant to. If you look at, like, they haven't seen any signs or symptoms.
Mm. So you were talking about the pain phase, and there are obviously a number of different pain scales out there. Is there someone that is developed specifically for dental pain?
Well, I searched for one a couple of years ago, and the only one I found was really not really specific. I haven't found one that's really usable. So I think it's better to like use the regular pain phase scale or system that you are used to, and be aware of the extra signs like the intense the head shakes, and also how to hold their head, because it can hold the head slightly in another angle, or try to get away with the head in another way than if you have a pain in the hind limb, for example.
Mm.
But I go with the regular one that Vivet was introducing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, if you go with your regular one and use that one. I think it's so few different differentials. So just add on the ones that's obvious. The like pain scale for the face will express this approximately the same signs.
Yeah,
but you will have, of course, extra signs like head shyness that you wouldn't have if you had hind limb pain.
Yeah, if they show anything.
Yeah, exactly. And with the Icelandics, be super observant.
Yeah, yeah. But then I'm curious about, for example, then the Icelandics. Or any other horse that where the owner really has not suspected anything, or the horse didn't really show any symptoms, can you still tell that you have had a successful treatment or procedure afterwards? I mean, maybe they would stop doing something that they were doing, but the owner considered normal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And that's a good question, really. Often you find that the horse will be more happy. Dental pain are often, except for fractures, but dental pain are often progressing pain. The most common one is damage to the mucous membranes because of sharp teeth. And that doesn't come overnight. So the horse gets used to it. Regarding fractures, it's sometimes it's because of a decayed tooth, so then it's not like happening that the actual fracture would happen suddenly, but maybe the horse have had pain because of the caries before. So when you take away the problem, suddenly the horse shows completely a new behavior, and maybe he's been eating a bit slow or didn't play around in the pasture as he did 1 year ago, but suddenly he gets his old patterns back, and that's one way to see it. And sometimes you won't see any big difference, but if you don't address the problem when you find it, then you will probably have even worse situation in 2 months, and then the horse will maybe show signs.
Mm.
So it's important to learn the owners how to see that something have happened in the mouth and something needs to be addressed.
Mm.
And I think that's the biggest issue, really, because when we as a veterinarian is sitting in front of the horse and doing the examination, then we do what we can at that point anyway, with floating, with taking away foreign objects and addressing the problematic, the big problem with bits and bridles, addressing that. And sometimes we don't see a big difference, but often the owners will say that, oh, it was a big difference when you did the floating last time, and now I feel that the problem is coming back. Okay, then you know. But sometimes it's like, no, it's like just as fine as usual. He was fine yesterday and I'm sure he will be fine tomorrow. It's like sometimes you don't find yourself have any kind of gratitude, like they're calling, whoa, it's so good, thank you, you're giving me a new horse, yay!
Yeah, we all want happy owners, right?
But when they are coming back in 6 months or 1 year, year after year after year after year, then they're probably happy with the work anyway. Yeah.
So moving on then from how to detect the pain, if they display it at all, what about pain treatment? How would you optimize pain management really in these horses, let's say during, before and during the procedure to start with?
By the routine dentistry, I just go with my regular sedation protocol. If it's an old horse or a horse that I know is doing some intense chewing on the mouth gag, then it's probably because of pain somewhere, either in the musculature or in the TMJ, temporomandibular joint, or in the incisors. They're the most common pain areas when they are chewing at the mouth gag. So in those cases, it's often advise them to give a dose of meloxicam a couple of hours before I come there. And if that's not possible, I give them IV meloxicam. I think that's, for me, that have been working really well. So I choose that in front of bute or anything else. I think that's, it's easy for the owner to give, and I think it's really, really good for dental pain and adjacent pain. Mm. So that's like the only pre-med that I do regularly. Yeah, otherwise, I go with Detomidine and a little bit of butorphanol, and I also try to regulate the blood pressure the problems that you get with the Detomidine with some Acepromazine, and then I top up with a super small dose of ketamine or maybe diazepam if needed. Mm. Especially for the ketamine is fantastic for those chewers, and diazepam I use more on those really stressed, tense horses. Mm. That I also find especially the thoroughbreds. Mm. So, but they're really seldom. It's not, I think I, well, yeah, 2 a month maybe. So it's really not often. But the ketamine bottle is always, I use it every day.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a combination that would make anyone stand still.
Yeah, it is. It
or
is.
Be really calm.
Yeah, and since I work a lot out in the stable, it's really, really, really important for me to find the perfect mix for each individual. Mm. Some horses are really unstable in ketamine, and some horses get this extreme locomotion effect of butorphanol. And some of them get really, really wobbly if I just give them Detomidine and butorphanol. So then it's just fabulous in the same dose as the Detomidine. And I think it's really, really good. And the only reason that I don't use it in all horses is really laziness. Because you have to put the Acepromazine in the passport if they're not already taken out of the food chain. So it's a mix of 2 to 4 ingredients in every drink for every horse. So I really don't want to die, and I don't want to do the paperwork with the broken leg on the horse. So for me, it's really important to get them standing good without any support other than the headstand, because I don't have any other support in the stable.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
My standard protocol for a chewing horse or a chewer is, say, 500 kilos. And I will give it Detomidine by 7 milligrams, along with the Acepromazine, approximately 10 milligrams, And then I put a little hood or balls in the ears to reduce the hearing and make sure it's really, really calm in the stable. 7 to 10 minutes later, I will give butyrophenol, like 6 milligrams, and also ketamine, 20 to 40 milligrams. And give that slowly, really slowly, and make sure that before you give the ketamine, put the feet where you want them, because when you have given it, they will be really, really wobbly if you try to move them the first minutes. Also, when you lift the head up to the headstand, do it really, really slowly, otherwise they can be quite wobbly. Another thing that's quite wise is to tell the owner that one of five horses approximately will be quite wobbly, but that will just it will be gone in a minute, but it will feel like a really long minute that when they are wobbling. So it's good to tell them in advance.
What about afterwards? I mean, if you've done, maybe not for the routine, only floating, but if you've done a rather invasive procedure, maybe even tooth extractions and so on, so what's your optimizing pain management protocol afterwards?
When it's regarding to for example, extractions, if it's small extractions, easy extractions, like really old horse's teeth or wolf teeth, I don't give them anything. And otherwise, I always make a prescription for meloxicam, just to so they can have it ready. But it's not always that I say that you need to give this for 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 10 days, because often when if the extraction wasn't very, very invasive and that it took a lot of like 2 or 3 hours, then often the horse seems to be quite okay just having the tooth out. And sometimes I find the healing progress to be better without meloxicam, and sometimes better with. And I think it's a lot to do with how the horses think about pain, and how if they show signs, and that you like you can see in their way of feeding, in the pain phase, in the way just behave, then of course it needs pain killing, otherwise he won't eat, and in that case the healing won't go well. In case the horse is just as happy chap as ever, then why go there with another drug for the body to handle? Well, that's my major strategy. I provide them with the prescription, or make sure they have a dose or two at home if it's a weekend coming up. But it's not always that I give it, and sometimes I use more long-acting blocks for like ropivacaine, because it's several hours. It's almost double time of pain relief. So I think that's also an alternative. But often when it takes a lot of time, if you have the mouth open for almost 2 hours, then you will be sore in your TMJ and your muscles. Then I almost always make sure that they get one dose at least, but they always pre-med as well, so they had already in the body for the first 24 hours.
And I guess also the more effective your pre-med and the anesthesia or the analgesia during the procedure is, the less you will have to use afterwards, I guess.
Then you will have a quicker extraction as well when you have done your pre-med and your blocks and the infiltration perfectly, because then the head will be standing completely still and you'll be able to do your work quickly.
So the main issue then, to conclude the pain talk, is the discovering it, really, that they don't always display it, or that they do it in very, very subtle ways that will be difficult maybe for the horse owner to detect.
Yeah, especially if they are not aware of what to do, what to look for in the sound when they're eating, the how it looks when they are eating, how the manure looks.
Yeah.
And smells, the smell in the mouth.
Yeah.
But if someone told them to that this is normal, this is not normal, then it's super easy for them to at least check on those points. But as we've said before, not all horses will show signs.
Mm. Thank you so much for this chat about pain and dental pain. In the next episode, we'll talk a little bit more about older horses, and we'll also be, of course, discussing equipment and bitting in the coming talks. Thank you for now.
Thank you.
Tak fordi du lyttede til Hestedyrlærerne. Hvis du kan lide, hvad du hører, så glem ikke at trykke på abonner på din podcast-app, så går du ikke glip af nogen episoder. Du må også godt fortælle os, hvad du synes ved at skrive en anmeldelse. Vi modtager også meget gerne tips om kommende gæster og emner, og vores kontaktoplysninger kan du finde i podcastbeskrivelsen. Vi høres ved snart.